Doesn't that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right.
Behold the glory that is here.
A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
thing. I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
friend? Onto a Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah. This is Tech Talk. Good morning. This is Tech Talk. No intro music. I see why. Yeah, of course. You know, I decide to play something, my copy of Spotify says, "Hey, you need to upgrade."
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Tech Talk.
Thanks.
This is Michael Tech Talk Castline, Dave Sparky Saganaki. Welcome to the show.
Yes.
Can't be a Tech Talk show unless something goes wrong immediately.
I had it all locked in here, too. I was excited. I said, this is it. This is the day when everything's going to work just right.
Yeah.
And
guess again.
Yeah.
Bucko.
we'll get some music here going. How about this? I think I've even got it. There we go. All right, now we got music again.
Like music. What is that? Oh, there it is. Yeah. Machines can do the work.
Yeah, we hope. We keep trying to get them to do the work.
Yeah, because we sure aren't doing much.
Exactly. Are your machines doing the work? Because if they're not, we're going to have, in just a little while, Jeff Traxler is going to be on. Traxel is the CMO for NextWorth.com. I don't know if you have or have not heard of NextWorth.com, but
I have. But refresh my memory.
And he's going to do a much better job than I will of telling you what that's about. But they I'm having problems with my headphones here too.
It's all about your stuff, right?
It is. You get to trade in your stuff, get money, and then buy more stuff.
What kind of stuff?
Any kind of stuff, but technology stuff. iPhones, iPads is the big ones that they're doing a lot of trading in right now. And then also too, you can either do it online or you can go to a local store. If you're on the East Coast, I think J&R and around here, Target stores. Almost every single Target store nearby.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
So you don't have to wait. You can just go right into Target and they'll tell you what it's worth and give you money.
Ah.
It's like
sort of like a CarMax.
Yeah.
In your car. You come,
what is that? Cash for Gold? I think they're a little more reputable than Cash for Gold. We'll talk to Jeff.
We are not casting aspersions. Those are opinions of Michael Kastler, not WRLR.
I personally.
It's managers, officers, or anybody else that's involved with them.
I personally will cast aspersion on Cash for Gold.
Uh-oh.
I'd rather go to a pawn shop than one of those joints.
Yeah.
I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
But I've been known to be a little opinionated on some of these things.
Yeah.
We probably will not get Jay, our good friend Jay Garman, on today.
Yeah.
He's busy doing things around water, so phones don't work well around water. We'll probably not try to bother him.
Yeah. Well, he's pretty consistently. He shows up more than we do.
This is true.
Shows up way more than I do.
Speaking of which, I will not be here next week. We're taking next week off.
Ah.
I don't know if you knew that, but
I don't recall. You might have said something. I don't recall.
I'm going to be in Las Vegas, losing money most likely.
For pleasure or business?
pleasure, all pleasure.
Ah.
So I'm not going to look at a phone. I'm not going to talk about NEC or WR. Well, I might talk about WRLR. I don't know. I might tell people about the show, but.
Yeah.
If you see me there, I tell you what, if anybody is in Vegas and recognizes me or my voice, or I'll wear my Tech Talk hat, I'll send you something. How about that? First person that sees me in Vegas, I will shoot them a Tech Talk shirt.
This is real likely.
That's why I have no problems making that promise.
This is, what were the odds of winning the Mega Millions lottery?
Hey, we've got listeners all over. There could be somebody in here. Of course, the chances of me getting the podcast released between now and I leave.
All eight of them scattered all over. Yeah, what is the time lag on podcasts?
Oh, Lord. Well, you know what? We lost last week. I know you weren't here. We were having problems with our recording studio here, the recording function of the studio. Yeah. So I had tried to do it using VLC, which worked reasonably well the first time I did it, and for some reason last week it did not. So this time I'm double recording it. We've got it recording on my local laptop and also on the studio laptop. So we'll see. We'll see how it works.
And VLC, for people that don't know, is a suite for... No, it's not really a suite, but it handles all kinds of different MP3, movies and music files and that kind of thing. And also records.
It is one of the better... video and audio players out there. Most people are very familiar with Windows Media Player, with a lot
iTunes,
of the other iTunes.
Quax Player is a favorite of yours.
Winamp. Winamp is a great one as well. Winamp is more focused really on that audio portion and so on.
Winamp's been around forever.
Yes,
that's been people love them.
And you can have Winamp on your mobile too.
They have an Android. The Android version is actually pretty good.
I was pleasantly surprised by the by the Winamp version. It was really quite decent. So I'm having all sorts of problems with my headphones here today. It's not the headphones. Dave has actually asked me to try and use some new headphones. Now, what kind of headphones are these?
They're Tenquas. The Tenqa is the way you spell them. And I'm not sure. I wanted you're pickier. You're more of an audiophile than I am about headphones. I wanted you to try them out and give me kind of an honest review of what. Not only can you plug them into the board like you're doing now, but they're also Bluetooth.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, the sound quality is very good. It seems quite accurate. So, as far as that goes, I have no issues. If the adapter would stay in.
You could also try going right into the amplifier. That might be another option.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that might be. Maybe at the break here,
the adapter might match up better, though.
I'll throw it up in there.
So what's going on in technology news?
Oh, man. Oh, I you know what? I love days like today because this is when I get to be... I get to get my comeuppance. I get to give my comeuppance out to others.
We get it all the time.
Exactly. I get enough of it. Now I get to throw it on somebody else. All you Apple guys out there,
uh-oh,
all you Mac heads,
oh, man.
Me for years, oh, we don't need antivirus software, Mike. Apple Mac, nobody uses them, so nobody's going to hack our stuff.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Malware.
Oh, 600,000 estimated incidents of a single malware instance across the globe right now. The flashback Trojan is infiltrating Macs all over the place.
Right, but I thought that's OS X, right? Is a specific target?
Oh, of course I don't use Macs, so I don't know enough about it. I do know that's the most recent. Tiger's the most recent. It is OS X. Yeah, OS X is the most recent version. So, I believe you. I don't use that junk myself.
You're just giddy. I've got nothing against Apple at all. I just can't see going into that walled garden and never coming out. But that's just me. I have tremendous admiration for their products. And for you personally, if you want to tick off the Apple multitudes, be my guest. That's kind of like throwing rocks at zombies. You're not going to win that.
Here's the thing that I love about this story, though, is the reason why the Trojan has taken off in the way that it has is that people are so full of confidence in the security and stability of that operating system, and for good reason, it has been quite stable and secure for a long time, that most users of the Apple OS X operating system have not been consistent about applying the updates and the security updates that have come out from Apple, nor do they have antivirus software installed.
Right.
Most Windows machines that you buy have some form of antivirus installed already. Windows and Microsoft have made packs with McAfee and with the distributors. If you buy a computer through Dell, for example, I think you get Norton antivirus, something along those lines. That's not true true with the Apple and with Macintosh stuff. It doesn't come with it. So there are antivirus applications out there for Macintosh. If you have a concern that you might be infected, go to F-Secure, and it'll tell you. CNN's got a great set of articles on how to figure out if you have the Flashback Trojan installed, and if so, then also gives you links back to F-Secure so that you can get that cleared out.
And relatively speaking, compared to Windows devices, this is nothing.
Small potatoes.
600,000 police.
Just wait.
Police.
Yeah, that's
wait.
How it started.
Well, when you think about it, you know, I mean, if hackers, if you know, just like, you know, everybody's dying to write apps for Apple, you know, for the iOS, I'm sure the virus writers, you know, must be thinking that way as well.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, exactly. And the interesting thing with this Trojan is that there's very, very little to indicate that you have it on your computer if you do. It's not one of those destructive ones. It's not one that, you know, completely bogs your machine down and things like this. What it does is it starts making calls out to websites and is taking some of your information and throwing it out there, but also, too, is opening your machine up for other potential attacks, and it uses it as a botnet army. It's one of these botnet armies, and so the intent of it for the provider or the user of this Trojan is that they can now, they have 600,000 machines that they can do click fraud with, which is going to Google ad sites and clicking on ads and getting revenue from those ad clicks. You know, it's one of those just nasty ones. It's the typical stuff. Go and get your Mac protected is my advice.
Yeah, it's time. It's time. You guys have been off the inoculations long enough. It's time to get a shot.
Join the real world.
Yeah. Don't sound so satisfied and so smug.
Oh, but I am.
How long has it been? How long has it been? And this is one relatively minor is not the right word. Moderate.
Yes,
this is one moderate threat.
This is true. This is true.
Stop being so smug. You're gonna get your butt kicked. You're gonna get your you're gonna get fished or hijacked or something.
Yeah. Now you do not get a Tech Talk T-shirt if you find me in Vegas with the sole intent of beating my butt so that to make up for Apple bashing.
If you're an app fan, I know that you really don't have genuine animosity towards Apple. So
I don't. Yeah. I use an Apple Macintosh machine. I don't know what the version is. Every Sunday, actually, I do video and audio production for my church. And so every Sunday I'm using
it. And it works really well, doesn't it?
It turns, every time I go there, I think the same thing. You know what? It just works. Yeah. I have to confess. It's like I turn it on. It does the same thing. Every time I turn it on, I never have to worry that it's going to go into safe mode or
don't
something.
Don't have
crazy.
To rack your brain or.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Think of the thousand things that could be happening. You know, you just turn it on and everything's fine.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, and of course, it is a single use machine. You know, it's used by an old lady every Sunday, you know, to go back and forth to church, and that's it. So. Myself being the old lady in that metaphor.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you think of these Google virtual reality glasses?
Oh, yeah. I heard Sergey Brin was out and about with them with his good friend Bob Scoble.
Well, in some ways, this is nothing. There's nothing really new about this. People have had, you know, like glasses mounted type displays with a PC on their belt, some sort of a small PC on their belt and walked around. But it was very rare. But I think the connectivity and the size and probably the quality of the images and stuff is well, of course, we're speculating since we don't have any.
Yep.
Nobody's actually been had them for review as far as I know.
No. And in fact, they're saying it could be, minimum it's going to be something like 9 months to a year before we see anything out in the wild and probably a couple of years before they're actually available for purchase. That hasn't stopped people from estimating the cost of them and all the other business, but be that as it may. I think one of the big things that's making a difference why these are actually practical and possible, I mean, as you said, the display technology technology to some degree or another has been there in the past. Mm-hmm. And you've been able to buy, you know, glasses that have embedded embedded speakers in them. So, you know, your Oakley glasses that have the, have stereo sound coming through them and Bluetooth and all that. But what I think is making the difference now is the size of cameras has gotten small enough, and also, too, the quality of voice recognition has risen high enough that you can have a practical use for these.
That's another good point. In the past, there's been like a little hand control mouse or something like that.
Exactly.
A device.
Yeah, which kind of defeats some of the purpose, you know.
Yeah.
And I always hark back to those Heinlein and other authors who wrote about the subvocalization, you know, that you could subvocalize and your computer would recognize it and understand it and give you the information and put it on that HUD for you and all this. And I think I'd be interested to see that sort of a thing occurring where the voice recognition gets good enough that not only does it recognize that you're what you're saying, but it recognizes that you personally are the one that's saying it, not hearing background
noise. You don't want that, because that's like that would be instant voice stress analyzing and lie detector kind of thing. Every time you get like it's in casual conversation, you hear these weird beeps from that's not quite the truth. You know? some sort of indicator.
Oh, man.
So I had two reactions. I had two very immediate emotional reactions when I heard about this. The first was like, oh, that sounds kind of cool. I'd like to get that.
Yeah.
The second was, do you think this is the way the Borg started?
You know what? Sign me up. I'm not resisting.
Resistance is futile.
Yes.
Resistance is futile.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I'm all on board.
Google, you know, some people are of the opinion, you know, they have their antitrust issues as well. I mean,
yes.
Still ongoing.
Yes. Yes.
So you have to wonder. I mean, I'm not entirely sure that there's a valid case for the antitrust stuff, but if a corporation is suspect of that, and now they're coming up with a this device that everybody can wear that is directly hooked up to that corporation, that's kind of that's a scary kind of vision for the future. I think.
Yeah. I mean, you know, some of these legal cases, you just get the impression it's just a symptom of our system. You know, it's something that we just have to deal with because of the system that we exist in, that there's going to be these cases because they can be brought up, and there's the potential for massive amounts of money to change hands regardless of the validity.
And there's
a
big regulation gap.
Yes.
I mean, the internet, they still haven't quite figured out how to deal with a lot of stuff that's happening on the internet.
Yep. But they're trying. Gosh darn it. If Al Franken has his way, he's gonna lock that thing down, man. Oh, don't get me started on Franken again.
I like Al Franken.
Oh, well,
I know you don't like his politics, you know, and I still never have gone back and found out what's ticking you off about him. And the way he, you know, he's doing something about the internet that you don't like, you know.
Mike Miller, a good friend of the show, Mike Miller, who writes a tremendous number of great books. He's got one out actually on Spotify right now. He and I got into it a little bit about Al. Mike lives up in Minnesota, which is Al Franken's home state, of course.
Exactly, yeah.
And
where he's a senator, right?
He is. Yeah. Yes, he is. Yes. Yes, no longer the guy on SNL and stand-up comedian. He's mm-hmm. He's a big-time politician, politico.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Speaking of big-time stuff, it's about 20 after. And like I said, Jay's not going to join us. Our Jay Garman geek trivia.
Oh, Jay Garman isn't. Jay Wilson is here. From
Jay Wilson, however,
is in studio from Canada.
You know, actually. we should have Jay Wilson read the. She's shaking her head. We lost one, Jay, and gained another.
Yeah.
I was thinking this might work out very nicely.
You know, you never see them at the same time.
This is a good point. This is a good point. It's like the alter ego Clark Kent.
We couldn't have her read it anyway. We couldn't understand her Canadian accent.
Oh, yeah. I always wonder, you know, how long until they learn English.
And it's nice of you to call her Jay instead of Yoko. Learn English for you.
instead of that Canadian. Hey, I grew up close enough to the border that...
Oh, you guys are honorary Canadians.
I'm bilingual. Yeah.
Yeah. The accent's virtually the same. The northern Minnesota accent and the Canadian accent are darn close.
It really is.
Wisconsin,
yeah.
too. There's parts of Wisconsin that is like...
Yes. Yeah. If you ever seen the movie Fargo, it's that feeling, too. Yeah. It is very, very... They did a very good job, I thought, in that. Yeah. Jay's
oh,
not
the accent,
sure.
The accent.
She's,
she doesn't know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, she knows Fargo. She knows Fargo. Yeah.
And you don't think the accent was sort of Canadian? No.
Oh, she does not. No, not. Just, okay.
I think we're splitting hairs.
The and my local town claim to fame was that prostitute number two in Fargo was from my hometown, Burnsville. So.
Wow, you scared me a little bit. You see, the start of your sentence was my town's claim to fame was prostitute, and I was like, you know, and then he's number two from. But for a minute there, I was like, God, where's he going with this?
Yeah. You never quite know where I'm going to end up. Yeah. So speaking of which, now, we did get a response from Customer Jones, and I believe she nailed it this week. But
You talk about the trivia question.
The trivia question.
Jay Garman's trivia question.
Now, find
so
Jay
you're filling
Garman,
in.
jaygarman.net.
Yeah.
I can't possibly fill in for Jay.
Yeah.
I can't even come close. But but I can read what he wrote to me. Reasonably well. I can get that one done. I don't know if you remember it was actually 2 weeks ago, but the question was, how many planets would there be in our solar system if everything that we ever called a planet kept the title forever? And, of course, we know Pluto, recently got dropped.
Yeah.
Pallas was an asteroid, the one right before that was considered a planet. I believe that was back in the early 1800s. When that one got dropped as from planet status. So if we had kept everything that was considered a planet.
Don't know.
It's not 42. I was hoping for 42.
Yeah.
But no, 36.
Really?
36. Now, if you throw out the sun and the moon, which were both considered planets in ancient times, you get down to 34. If you throw out anything else that's a moon, actually, like,
Io.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ones
Titan.
Usually ones that you can see with your naked eye or, yeah. I mean, with a minimal amount of magnification. Then you get down to 25, actually. The largest moons of Jupiter and the five largest of Saturn at one time were thought to be planets in and of their own right. Mm. So that's that. Now, there was also... 14 asteroids that were considered planets at one time, and the largest of those were considered to be planets, and so that brings you down to 11. And then there's the dwarf planets, such as our good friend Pluto, but also Ceres and Eris, and then you get down to the 8 planets that we currently recognize.
Ah, cool.
So.
Well, we've been looking at the sky a long time.
yeah, we have.
And now we're getting picky about it.
Yeah.
Your planet, you're not. No, of course, ice balls don't really count as planets.
No. And they shouldn't. I think part of the issue, of course, and one of the questions I would have asked Jay if Jay were on right now would be, so what is the actual technical definition of a planet?
And you know he'd have it on him.
He would. Is there a mass? Is it considered by mass? Is it size? Is it, due to the, whatever.
Jay would do five minutes on that at least.
Yes. Yeah. Which is good that he's not on maybe because we don't have 5 minutes. I'm going to try and bring Nexworth on in just a minute here. Now, he does have another question for us, jaygarman.net. You can always get all this information there, too, I should mention. But for next week, in honor of Easter, which I will not be around for, so what is the first recognized software Easter egg? And it's over 45 years old.
And, of course, Easter eggs are hidden. A little, it's credit. Usually the creators of the software, it's their identities, it's some little game or some little hidden treat that's hidden in software somewhere.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So I don't know.
And who did the first one? That's a great question.
And he says over 45 years old. Did they even have software back then? I don't even know. I'm trying to think. 45,
that's probably a drawing on a punch-out card.
That's one of the few software questions I've heard where the answer is something older than me. We'll see how that shapes up. So, and we'll have to wait, of course, 2 weeks for the answer to that one.
I don't think I can take the suspense.
I know, yeah. I know, it's tough. Well, you know what? As soon as I get the answer from Customer Jones, I'll shoot it over to you. Thank you, Suzanne. I love that. And also to remind people that you can go to facebook.com/TechTalkWRLR.
Oh yeah.
And a Customer Jones usually posts it up on there if you can't find the answer yourself. But also too, you can always interact and communicate, and even if you just follow it and get the information. I do try to post some of the stuff that we're going to talk about during the week on there as the week goes on.
Cool.
So I'm going to get us out to some spots. You like how I did that Canadian? Out. We're going to go out to some spots and.
And Canadians don't have accents according to them. We do.
We
can make a case for that.
I suppose. Yeah. That's true.
Not much of one, but you could.
And after that, we're going to come back a little bit late to the party, but we're going to bring on Jeff Traxel from nextworth.com. So stay tuned. You're listening to WRLR, and we'll be right back.
Can't wait.
You're listening. EFM, WRLR, LP, Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
The Village of Round Lake Beach, in conjunction with the Music Gallery of Highland Park, are proud to be sponsoring the 2012 WRLR Battle of the Bands. Battle of the Bands.
We're getting sweaty in the worst way.
The Battle of the Bands will take place on Saturday, April 7th, starting at 5 p.m. at the Round Lake Beach Cultural and Civic Center at 2007 Civic Center Way, Round Lake Beach. Five local rock and metal bands will battle it out for cash and other exciting prizes. Bands include Exit to Enter, Tadashi, Convolution, One Time Hero, and Saline. Refreshments available, including irresistible bakery sale items. Tickets for the WRLR Battle of the Bands, $5, sold at the door. WRLR cordially invites you and anyone from our community to attend this important fundraising event. The 2012 Battle of the Bands from WRLR.
State Farm Insurance Agency of Alex Bizarro is a proud sponsor of WRLR and is there for all your automobile and homeowner insurance needs. The State Farm Insurance Agency of Alex Bizarro is located just north of the corner of Route 134 and Cedar Lake Road in downtown Round Lake, Illinois, and opens at 9 a.m. Monday through Saturday, with evening hours until 7:30 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Their phone number is 847-740-5713, and their website is www.pizarroagency.com.
Do you remember the 70s and 80s? Free Love, Big Hair, Tie-Dye, Marsha Brady, and above all, great music. Take a magic carpet ride back to those bygone days every Saturday with Retro Radio. Hear the greatest songs from the decades of discotheques and dance parties. You'll hear all your old favorites and maybe find a couple of new ones. Your hosts, Todd and Carolyn, open the vault and dust off the hits of yesteryear every Saturday night. Be sure to boogie down with Retro Radio every Saturday from 6 to 9 p.m. right here on 98.3 FM WRLR.
We're here. We're back. I knew it would happen eventually. Okay, you know what we're doing right now, of course, too, is I am bringing on Jeff Traxel from nextworth.com. He's probably, I think, in fact, he might have just messaged me and said, what is going on?
Yeah.
Are you guys going to bring me on or not? Because we have been just a little bit delayed this morning.
Hello, this is Jeff.
Good morning, Jeff. Jeff, apologies. We're a little bit later than I had told you we'd bring you on. We had a little bit of excitement in the studio here this morning. Jeff Traxel, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, from Nextworth. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
So I tried to do justice to nextworth.com and Nextworth and what you guys do, the service that you provide to people. But you will undoubtedly do a better job than I could. Can you tell it? Give us the nickel tour of what Nextworth is. What does it mean to people?
Absolutely. So we are a service that enables people to sell their old consumer electronics and media. So we buy back everything from iPhones and cell phones to iPads and iPods to digital cameras, calculators, DVDs, games, really anything that is unused and still has some residual value. So we do that both through our website at nextworth.com, as well as through retail partnerships, the largest of which is Target. So we power the Target trade-in program, where you can go in-store and on the spot trade in your unused electronics for Target store credit.
Mm-hmm. And I did a quick look online, too, just to check. And for listeners around the area here, the Chicago metro area, there are a tremendous number of Targets. I remember talking to someone from Nextworth, I believe it was when you guys first started that relationship with Target. There weren't a lot in the area that were able to do this, but now it seems that it's really penetrated the Target stores. Do you have an idea of like what percentage of Target stores offer this service at this point?
Yeah, we're in almost all Target stores. So we're in almost 1,500 locations, and it's anywhere where there's a Target mobile kiosk. So we're in the area where they sell cell phones. Most Target stores have them, but we do have a store locator on our website, which will tell you exactly which ones have it and which ones don't.
Great, great. And I know, doing it online, it's really cool, actually, that the Target option is there. Because doing it online, why don't you tell me what the process is? I've got an iPod Nano. It's probably like a third generation, something like that.
Yep.
I haven't used it in a long time now because I do everything with my phone, you know. What do I do with this thing, and what's the process if I want to trade it in online?
Sure. So what you would do is go to our website, search for your item. We've got it all categorized, so it should be fairly easy to find the third gen Nanos. You tell us what the gigabyte size is, and answer. In the case of iPods, I think it's about five or six questions about its condition. So whether it has scratches, whether it works, important things for us from a resale value standpoint. Once you answer all those questions, we give you a quote, and if you choose to accept that quote, we take you through our checkout process and give you a prepaid shipping label that you can print. You then drop your item in the off with UPS, and we receive it. We inspect it using the same criteria that you use to generate the quote. If everything matches up, we go ahead and pay you however you chose to be paid, whether it's a check, PayPal, or a Target gift card. In some cases, when our inspector is going through those questions, there will be differences in how you rated it and how we rate it. When that's the case, we kick it to a second inspector who gets it blind. They don't know how the first inspector rated it. If they have the same issue, you said it powered on, it doesn't power on, we adjust the quote and send the consumer an email explaining why there was a difference and what the new value is. If we include our customer service number, our email, our phone number. If the customer has any questions, they can call us. And there's a few things we can do in that case. We can send the item back if it hasn't already been sold, and we'll do that free of charge. Or, a lot of times we'll sort of just work with the customer to come up with an agreeable solution. So we'll meet in the middle or do something else to make it right.
Okay. So if you disagree with the amount that Nextworth evaluates your equipment at, or if you happen to be a little more optimistic, let's say, about the condition of your equipment, then there is a built-in ability for you to say, you know what. I disagree with your judges or whatever. Or also, can you just say, hey, look, that's not enough. I want my equipment back. I just, I could still use it. Send it back to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And if that's the case, we're happy to send it back free of charge. You know, in some cases with really hot items, iPhones, iPads, we turn them around really quickly. Mm-hmm. So in some cases, if there was a delay between the time somebody, you know, we sent them an email and they called us, if they call, you know, a week later, we may have already sold that item. If that's the case, then we'll just agree to something with that consumer and we'll either pay, you know, we'll meet in the middle or we'll pay in full, you know. We do whatever's right. But yeah, there is that sort of inherent conflict of interest with the online model where, you know, if you're sitting there at the calculator at home and you see, you know, if I say it's got heavy scratches, it's going to, you know, take $10 off the value. I know it has some scratches, but I'm going to see what I can, you know, kind of get away with.
Yep.
There is that, you know, sort of conflict of interest. And what we really like about the in-store model is you walk in, they inspect it on the spot, and you get an immediate quote. And if you choose to accept it, you walk away with credit in your pocket. So it's much more convenient, but it's also, you know exactly what you're going to get, and you get it right away.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to ask about that. So the Target store situation, or J&R, I think, out on the East Coast, you walk in, you talk to somebody who's trained in this evaluation process, and they tell you right there on the spot how much that they feel the trade-in is worth to them.
That's exactly right. So they have a calculator much like you see on our website. And they have there's a terminal right there, and they take the device, and they are, specially trained. So they walk through a similar set of questions. It's a little bit different than what you see on our website. Yeah. But yeah, they get the quote right there, and the consumer can decide on the spot if that's worth it or not.
Wow, well, you know, I'm a big online guy. I don't like the typical brick and mortar sort of solutions, but I gotta say in this case that it'd be worth the drive to me to not have to hassle with the mailing it back and forth and all that business.
It's really interesting, you know, in this day and age, there's so many things that people prefer to do online, and this is one of those things that is kind of bucking that trend. And, you know, we certainly see the future being a combination of online and in-store. There will always be that subset of people that just wants to do things online.
Yep.
But we think that there's real growth opportunity in the in-store model. And, you know, hopefully we'll see that that continue to grow.
Yeah, well, and the cool thing, too, with that is, of course, I mean, part of the reason why people are probably trading in some of this old tech is because they just got a glimpse of the shiny new thing on the store top counter, and they're like, oh my gosh, I've got the old version of that, say, for example, the new iPad, and I need the new one. I've got the iPad 2. I need the new one. How do I go about it? And they can go in and they can trade it in, and they literally like make virtually a swap and reduce the cost of that new investment by quite a bit, which leads me to a question I've got. Now, we started talking about getting you guys on, actually, I think even before the Christmas break and all this. And that was, of course, a great time to trade in some of those older iPads. But typically, what is the best time in a life cycle, even if we just look at the Apple products, what's the best point of time for value in the life cycle to trade in some of this equipment?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, obviously, everything depreciates over time. So the sooner you can trade something, the higher the value will be. It's very rare that values will actually increase. Yeah. Happens, you know, from time to time for various reasons. But for the most part, things are on a sort of a steady decline. Where we see the biggest drop in resale value is typically about 2 to 3 weeks before Apple's big event, when they announce the next iPhone or iPad, whatever it is. You know, that everybody knows it's coming. Once they set a date for that event, prices start to drop. And what we see is typically anywhere from, you know, 2 weeks before the event to 2 weeks after the new product is available, about a 25% decline in resale value. So it's a pretty dramatic drop. And we see it for iPhones, we see it for iPads, it's pretty consistent. So really the best time to sell is a couple of weeks before Apple's announcement. Mm-hmm. And the The nice thing about the online model is we give a 21-day window between when you get your quote and when you need to drop it in the mail. So people can kind of play with that window and say, okay, you know, I've got 3 weeks in here. You know, if if they're willing to go without their device, they can go ahead and ship it in.
Yep.
But if they're not, they can sort of, you know, play it a little bit where I'm going to get my quote 3 weeks before I know the new product's going to be available, and I'll just ship it in that day I get my new one.
They can game it a little bit. I like that.
Yeah.
Man.
If we don't mind. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, that makes a lot of sense. I know one question that has come up, and I'm seeing a note on the actually on our chat too. People are asking as to so what obviously you resell a fair amount of this stuff. The two questions I guess are you know, what venues do you resell these through? Do you sell them? I don't think you sell them on your own site. But then the second question is, for the ones that are completely unrecoverable or unsaleable for whatever reason, what do you do with them?
Sure. So we sell both direct through channels like Amazon and eBay, as well as wholesale. So there's tremendous demand in the secondary market, mostly for Apple products, but really for anything. So you know, we look at, you know, what the demand is and frankly where we can get the best prices, and we either sell, you know, through Amazon and eBay or wholesale or both. In the case where we get something and it's just broken beyond repair, we will recycle it. We work with an eStore certified recycling partner who will, you know, destroy any SIM cards or anything that contains personal information, and then recycle the item responsibly. So, you know, we are big believers in reuse, first and foremost, but we definitely recycle anything that we get that we can't put back into circulation.
Excellent. You know, which is a good thing. Of course, we always hear about e-waste and that being a huge issue, not only, you know, within our borders, but of course external as well. You did touch on something though, as well as just a reminder to people that when they do trade this equipment in, even though I know Nextworth does its level best to make sure that the SIM cards are cleared and so on, as a consumer and as a tech guy with a little bit of paranoia, I would definitely suggest that you take the matter in your own hands and clear those SIM cards, clear the machine as much as you possibly can prior to turning it over too.
Yeah, that's a great point, and something we definitely encourage people to do. We have our own processes of removing personal information, but if somebody can do it on their own before we get it, it's that much better.
Yeah, absolutely. Now I saw one note that said that there's approximately $5 billion with a B dollars worth of trade-in value just in Apple products alone that are in circulation right now. Is that a legitimate number? Is that one I made up somehow?
No, that's a legitimate number. That's actually a number that we came up with. We did some analysis just on iPods, and there are so many of them out there. And you know, Apple products hold up really well. Their residual value is really strong. And iPods are one of those products. I mean, you mentioned you have your old Nano at home. I've got a drawer, or I had a drawer full of them. everybody's got their electronics drawer, and it's probably got three or four iPods in it that just aren't getting used because, you know, iPhones now have so much memory and iPads and so many other options for music. So that is a category that we see just a huge amount of value in that's out there. So it's a great one for, you know, there's kind of two ends to the trade-in spectrum. There's the end of, I'm going to clear out my junk drawer and get rid of those three iPods and the digital camera or the, you know, the point-and-shoot that I don't use anymore. And that is a great way for people to monetize something that otherwise would just sit dormant. You know, the other end of that spectrum, and we touched on this earlier, is when the new product comes out, it's just a fantastic way to subsidize that purchase. With iPhones specifically, because the carriers subsidize the cost, they hold up incredibly well. When the 4S launched, we were actually buying back iPhone 4s for $250. So with the new one costing $200, with the carrier subsidy, you were actually making money by trading up, which is just a, you know, as a marketing person, I love that because yeah. we just want to pay you to get the new product.
exactly. And I know too, of course, there's always that. And even now with the Apple products, it used to be that the fervor and the desire to get that new piece of equipment was so high that you're willing to take anything to trade it in. But I think now though there's more retained value in the older Apple products. You know, the iPad 3 came out, or the new iPad, I guess it's referred to, and you do a Google search on keep my iPad 2 or something, and you're going to find most people are recommending, you know, just hold on to it. There's not enough of a difference. Same thing with the some of the new flavors of the iPhone. So maybe, you know, holding on to it, but knowing that you can at some point get some value still out of the out of the trade-in is a worthwhile thing too.
Yeah, definitely. I think the last two launches, there's been that, you know, that feeling. Certainly when the 4S first launched, there was that feeling of it's just like the 4. I think, you know, as time went on and people got more familiar with it and started to read the reviews, they realized it actually is a, you know, quite a significant upgrade. I think the same thing happened with the iPad, but yeah, there is I think the other thing with the iPad is there's more you can do with an old iPad. An old iPhone, you really can't, you know, there's not much utility there, but I think people, you know, tend to give their second iPad to their kids or, you know, their spouse, or, you know, there is definitely more you can do with an extra iPad.
Yeah. Well, and with some of the software that we've talked about on air here, you can actually, I'm getting off topic here, but you can do things like use your old iPad as a secondary or tertiary monitor for your computer. There's applications and software that will allow you to extend your monitor out onto your iPad.
Cool.
So there are cool things you can do. Or of course, I work for NEC as my day gig, and I know one of the things that we're doing is allowing you to use your iPad as an additional soft phone component. Yeah. So there's other things you can do with
cool.
it too. Well, hey, Jeff, you know what? On that note, since I'm taking this way off base anyways, I want to thank you so much for coming on air and giving us the skinny on Nextworth. Where can people go to get more information, to find out if local stores are supported, and to see what their current and stale technology is worth?
They can go to nextworth.com.
Perfect. Well, I will definitely link that on our website as well. And again, Jeff, thank you so much for coming on air.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, take care. Have a great Easter and great weekend. Yep.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Great job.
Yeah, Jeff.
Great service.
Jeff Traxel.
While you were interviewing him, I put in my beloved HP laptop to see what it was worth. You know,
sure.
Went with the touch screen and the swivel and it, you know, folds into a tablet and an aluminum case and everything like that. $8.
$8. Oh, ouch. I'll give you 10. I'll give you 10 for it right now. Right here.
Yeah, I know. You like that laptop.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, yeah.
I do.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
still like it.
Yeah. I put in my BlackBerry Playbook, and that was more like about $80, which
oh,
is
okay.
But they didn't ask. They didn't ask about storage, which was interesting. That significantly affects the value, but maybe not so much in resale.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why that is.
Yeah. A great service. I mean, it keeps keeps stuff out of the waste stream. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And those refurbs, you can find them online. I know I bought a refurbished Samsung Galaxy Tab. Now, I don't know if it came refurbished from Nextworth. I have no idea. But I purchased it through Woot, and it was significantly less expensive to buy it that way than it would have been to purchase new. And
yeah.
And it's in fantastic condition. It's just great.
Yeah. So there are some things, you know, that are better suited to this and are have more immediate value. It's all about demand, mm-hmm. is what people are looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
If they can nice. It's great that you could go to Target and take it in person and see what the deal is. And you don't like it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the way that I would recommend people using the service, go online, go through the process you just did at nextworth.com, see what they estimate they'd give you, because that's the same calculator they're going to use at Target, and at least then you get an idea. Is it worth the trip in, you know, and going and seeing? And for $8, I mean, you know, I don't know. If you just want it out of your drawer.
No, I use it every day. I like it. It's a good computer.
Yeah.
But, and also, like, some of the categories aren't they don't have I guess they don't want to ask too many questions about the capabilities of it or what it has. So, and I think their specialty is more small electronics, like, maybe pads and smaller, iPads and tablets and smaller.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So good stuff. Good stuff. And speaking of good stuff, I don't know if any of our audio is going to work here, but there we are.
Sure, it works.
It works. Yeah, it works. Good. That's right. The Price is Right. Cool site of the week. Good free stuff.
That's right. Sit back, relax. Listen to the good The Price is Right. What we were just talking about Nextworth. You know, the Price is Right, then trade your stuff in.
Absolutely, absolutely. And these websites I've got for you right now. The Price is Always Right. Cheap or free, anyways. the first one I'm going to start you off with. Now this is a friend of mine. I'm gonna preface that. A friend of mine has created a website, and it's getting a little bit of traction. He's having fun with it. It's called Daily Dislike. Go to the Daily Dislike.
Oh, I like the name of it already.
.com. Yeah. And it's or not the Daily, but just DailyDislike.com. It's a place for you to air the things that you hate, and then other people can say they don't like them too. Or they can say you're full of it. That's a great thing.
It's a coven. It's a coven of curmudgeons.
It is. It's perfect for me. It's just perfect for me. So check that out. Like I said, I will confess, a good friend of mine is the one who's created this website, and like I said, it's just for fun. Get on there, take a look, and see what other people are posting. I'm sure you'll find some stuff that that they agree with you about as well. Now here's one that's maybe a little more useful, though. This blew me away. I love this. We use the computer so often to get away from people, I guess, or to not.
We
it,
do.
It, well, maybe not. Maybe not. We're not using it for that purpose, but it tends to dissociate us from.
People. Yeah.
You know, especially from people close to us. Now, you wind up, you talk to people who might be from Canada or who are in Australia, but you're not going to see them face to face typically. But there's a website now, and this is through White Pages, which helps you connect with your neighbors.
Whitepages.com.
Neighbors.whitepages.com. Yeah. Go there. You type in your address, and it shows you all of the neighbors around you, their names, their phone numbers, everything that you'd want to know to be able to actually connect. Like
I saw something like that for sex offenders.
Yeah,
and for felons.
It doesn't star the felons, and you can go to sexoffenders.com though, actually, and that will show you that too.
Yeah.
But this is not.
These are more your generic neighbors.
Yes, yes.
Now, come to think of it, well, it's interesting that, you know, I would have seen that other one like a long time ago, and now this thing about making connections is just coming to light.
Just now, yes.
Yeah.
People are more, I guess, afraid of their neighbors than interested.
Yeah.
The thing that happens to me is we've got neighbors. I love our neighbors, especially our next door neighbors are fantastic, absolutely fabulous people. So I know them. I know all their kids' names, and I'm very comfortable. But there's neighbors that we have that are like a block away, and I see them at Target. I see them on the street. We have these block parties. And I can't for the life of me remember the wife's name or the son or whatever.
Quick, what kind of laptop do you have?
Yeah. That I could tell every single one of them. But go to neighbors.whitepages.com, and it'll give you all the information that's available through that service.
Boy, you know, just think about it. You know, if busybodies, you know, from the past knew... You know, knew what was coming. They'd be thrilled.
Man.
Yeah. No, it's good. Yeah. No, but you don't have to use it to spy or pester your neighbors, but it's good to know who's next door, and maybe you could send a Christmas card. That makes it easier to send a Christmas card or drop a little note in their mailbox and say, come on over, we'll have a barbecue, something like that.
Yep, yeah. Yep, absolutely. I think it's a useful thing. Like I said, I showed my wife, and she has the same problem as me with the names, and she just was like, oh, my gosh, I wish we'd had this years ago when we first moved in, of course.
I wish I had my Google glasses to... All the time. Yep. Wouldn't that be great? You know, you get close to somebody and the glasses automatically display the name.
Absolutely. That, yeah. You know, and it's funny. We were talking about science fiction authors that have done stuff like that. Yeah. The first book that I recall reading with that actual capability built into it was Gun with Occasional Music by Jonathan Lethem. I hugely recommend this book. It's fantastic. It's set in a near future kind of alternate verse, but the one of the key points near the end is there's this person that they're dealing with who it takes them a while, but eventually they figure out that he doesn't actually know what's going on anymore. He has no cognitive ability. All that he's doing is his glasses are presenting information to him so that he can, he knows every, you know, he seems to know everybody's name. He seems to know what's going on, but it's actually the computer
is being prompted.
Yeah, him. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it was an interesting little bit in that story, but it is years and years ago. And I just, I recall that as being the first incident of that fully realized technology.
It's only a matter of time. It seems like everything in science fiction we wind up with sooner or later.
Yes, and if you're looking for ebooks that are either free or a lot of them are free, a lot of them are not, but if you're looking for them, this is a good site, search-ebooks.eu. It's a European company, or organization, but you can go in there and just find documents and ebooks that are available. You can choose from, there's a ton of PDFs and docs, but there's also two PowerPoints and Word documents and things like that. And Dave's acting as the human clock right now, although his touchscreen is
changing,
not working.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm tucking my alarm clock, my big great big digital alarm clock on my tablet into my shirt, and every time I do it, I wind up with music or whatever. Right now, it's on the Northwest Herald website.
It's kind of a, either an Iron Man or perhaps more of a Battlestar Galactica look. Yeah. I'm not.
I was going for Flava Flav.
Yeah. That's there you go. It's Flava Flav in the new generation. easier. So we are running out of time. We're almost done. What I'm going to do, there's another little site that I found that is very cool. Is Hype. Hype me, Hype Machine, and it's at hypem.com, and there's actually a downloadable app now for it if you love to discover new music. It's a very cool site to go to, and the song that I'm going to play you today, I actually found when I was on Hype Machine, the website app, the downloadable app for my machine, and this is called Mr. Little Jeans. The song is called, that's the name of the song, and the band is called Runaway.
Sounds great.
So
can't wait to hear it.
We're going to leave you with that. It's a little bit of indie love, and thank you so much for listening to Tech Talk on WLR.
See you in 2 weeks.
Yes, that's right. 2 weeks. So don't tune in next week. You can, because you'll get some good stuff.
Yeah, other people are on the show. Yeah. And enjoy the holiday, everybody.
Yeah. Have a great Easter, Passover, whatever it is that you celebrate this weekend, even if it's just some beautiful weather. That's good enough for me.
That's cool.
And keep tuning in. Thanks for listening. Take care.
See you next time.